tonight we have Celise Haynes with us. She is an attorney at law for the past 9 years, practicing primarily in the fields of corporate and commercial law. And I want Celise to come in and tell you guys a little bit about herself. And she has a wonderful presentation that's going to be crucial for your growth and also your protection as small business owners. And as women, we are trying to team up together and collaborate to ensure that we empower more female entrepreneurs to succeed in this digital space. And given the climate, now it's even more important to increase our economic impact and while doing so, protect ourselves legally on these streets as well as off these streets. I've been in business for 20 years, and I'll tell you there are so many dangers lurking that we don't even know until we are faced with it. So we want to be a little bit more proactive and save you guys from that. So she has made herself available tonight, and we totally appreciate her. I want you all to be engaging, ask your questions, and she has a lovely offer for you all at the end. All right, so Celise, are you ready, honey? So Charisse, I think we have to unmute Celise. All right. Here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so ready. I'm pumped. Let's do this. Okay, so what we said we were going to talk about today was just business registrations, getting your business up and running on a legal front, and also in terms of the intellectual property aspects behind your business, copyrights, trademarks, and we didn't specifically say patents, but we can kind of touch on that a little bit this evening. So in terms, as I was saying earlier, Shelley, I just think it's so amazing that you've really been trying to encourage and push the women in the group to really get to understand that like business is serious business. And I think the age of just starting up something and doing it is just, it's over. It's no longer good enough. It's not what we want in order to be successful. So it's great that you're starting the conversations and getting people thinking about these things, because things are changing. Like within the last year in particular, there's been a host of new rules and regulations and laws about how people do businesses. And you might think, okay, well, my friends did things this way, my parents did things this way, my grandparents did things this way. Well, I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, that that's just not going to be how things are going to happen going forward. There's a whole lot more paperwork that you need to do now. There's a lot that you need to keep in order and think about. And you really, really have to take things seriously, or you'll be at risk of losing the business. And it may be something that you love. It may be something that you put work, money, time, sacrifice into, and you don't want to be that one person that they come after and you're the one that loses your business. So as I said earlier, in terms of compliance, which is basically how you govern your business and how that relates to external regulators. In most cases, that would be the government with all its different branches. So there are certain things that you need to do. And also in terms of having a registered business, I don't want to go into detail too much about this because I suspect that most people on the live already have their business set up and formalized. But as you guys know, there are different types of businesses that you can have. You can be a sole proprietor, which is more or less a one man, one woman show. You can have a partnership, which is similar to a sole proprietor. It's an individual base, but with more than one person's coming together to own, manage, operate the business. Or you can have a company, which can either be a limited liability company or an unlimited liability company. Unlimited liability companies in Trinidad are pretty rare. So most people go ahead and they would open a limited liability company, which is a company limited by shares. And what that means is that if anything ever goes wrong in the company, you owe persons, you have debts that you can't manage. What that means is that you can close up the company and you would not be personally liable for the debts of the company. The company is a separate legal individual as compared to you, the business owner. So with a limited liability company, there are obviously benefits and there are quite a few advantages of opening a limited liability company to do business. One of those in Trinidad is just from my own personal experience and the experience of the entrepreneurs that I represent, a lot of entities, especially government entities or bigger businesses, they don't want to do business with a sole proprietor because they feel like it's a lot more risky. So they prefer dealing with a limited liability company. So there are all those things to think about. But then on the other hand, you have to understand too that there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done. So just as an example, and it might sound a little bit funny, but with a company, one of the main things that you have to do every year is annual returns, which is a statement that gives a snapshot of what has happened in your business over the past year. And I recently had an entrepreneur come to me, and she's been in business for probably about over 10 years for sure, maybe about 15 years. And I asked her, okay, so I need to see your corporate documents, and she didn't have the annual returns in them. So I asked her for them. I had to go print out a form and show her, and she was like, yeah, I've never seen this document before. And like my mind was blown because there are actually like really serious penalties to not doing these annual returns. Your business can be shut down. And I actually do have a client who did shut down their business because she felt a lot of pressure and she calculated how much money she owed the government basically. And when she saw the figure, she was like, yeah, I can never afford to pay this. So she actually closed down what was a successful business because of it. So you don't want to be in that position. The other thing that I just wanted to mention really quickly, as I said, there have been updates to the law. So just as recently as last year in May, there was a bill that changed some of the requirements for companies. So now all companies have to do declarations as to who their beneficial owners are. The beneficial owners are the natural persons, the actual individuals who own shares in the company. So because this is a new piece of legislation, all companies, whether or not they're operating, whether or not they're making money, whatever, as long as you're registered as a company on the books, they have to fill out these forms to declare who their beneficial owners are. And the annual returns form, which is that form that I was speaking about earlier, has also been updated to capture the beneficial ownership information. So each year, as part of the annual returns, you also have to fill out this form. And things are, they made things are quite a little bit more serious now too, because with the beneficial ownership forms, you also have to do an affidavit. Is it an affidavit or statutory declaration? Whichever one it is, you actually have to go to a commissioner and make a sworn declaration that this is the correct information that you're giving about your business. So you can see how that automatically raises the bar and the level quite a bit there. So, right. So the second thing that I wanted to talk about, apart from all that compliance and governance stuff, is the IP aspects of it. So I do a lot of trainings as well for entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs. And one of the things that I always tell people, and I think I actually heard Shelley say this a while ago too, so I was like so buzzed about it, but basically, you should not be building your brand and company using assets that you don't fully own. So, and what that means is, it's just like if you're squatting on a piece of property, you cannot or should not build your mansion on this piece of land when at any point somebody could come and kick you off. And how that translates to the branding elements of the business is, for instance, if you start up your business, you didn't register or incorporate it, you didn't go ahead and file for a trademark for your logo or the business name or your tagline or slogan, you didn't go ahead and buy the domain for your business. All of those things, like there have been cases, I don't know if any locally, but sometimes people just go and buy domain names, like they search through registries or they look in the industry and they just go and buy up domain names, because what they can do is then sell them back at a profit. And so whereas you could have bought your domain name for probably like 99 cents when you started up your business, 5 years down the line, that's going to be $9,000, $90,000, because people actually make a living doing these kind of things. So I always tell people, first of all, you have to be very strategic in terms of establishing the branding elements of your business and understand how to legally protect those. So we said we were going to go through copyright and trademarks. Copyright could attach to like anything that you produce or generate in your business. And there are some businesses where they actually produce work that attracts copyright status. So for instance, if you're like Shelly, you're a songwriter as well, Shelly?
I'm a vocal coach.
Oh, you're a vocal coach. Okay. All right. So probably not you. But if you're a songwriter and you write a song, then that would have copyright automatically attached to it.
What I relate to with regards to me would be my Savvy Singers method. I had to get that copyrighted, trademarked, and registered.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, so even if you're not in a creative industry, you could still have work that is copyrighted. So for instance, on your website, whatever you put on your website to describe your business, even if it's not necessarily creative in and of itself, just the material that you state on your site, that could be copyrighted, because somebody else might have a similar business and they would want to go and just copy what you did and kind of just tweak and change a few things. So the important difference with copyright and the other types of IP rights is that copyright is automatic. So you actually do not have to register a trademark, a copyright for work. The copyright in it is automatic. What you should do though in trying to protect that is you don't necessarily have to go and register it, but you just need to make sure you can clearly identify when you created the work and that it is yours. And that becomes extremely important if you are working with other people as well.
I have a question.
Yeah.
We are talking about intellectual property and protecting our intellectual property. So what Salisa's trying to say is that you all know that I say things like be sensational with regards to the PRVM Performing Arts Academy, that's trademarked. Now that's not unique, but I had to make the S, you know, uppercase and be sensational, and then I have a microphone running through it. And now that's copyrighted to me, well, to the school, PRVM Performing Arts Academy. Then you all know that I say things like a picture of possibility. So I put a hibiscus in place of the O in possibility and trademarked that, right? Yeah. So what you're doing is you are securing your identity, your the unique things about you, because you can build a brand on picture of possibility, right? And somebody can come in and say, oh, I like this, and they can see the traction, and then they go do a search and they say, oh, this is not trademarked, it's not protected, and they snatch it up and they build on your brand. So what I was saying before was, don't build your empire on real estate you don't own. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it.
I totally agree. And like, I've always been saying something similar, and like, I was so happy to hear you say it, because it just felt concretized, like, okay, people are getting this. Yeah. So as I was saying, with copyright, you actually don't have to register your copyright. There are certain things that you can do to protect it, like just making sure that you have records of what you create and when. But with a trademark, and also when you do your work, another thing that you can do when putting it out there is using the copyright notice, which is the C, the little C in the circle. Mm-hmm. So you can put copyright, the copyright notice, and your name, and people commonly put the year as well, which you can also do. You may also see other marks like the R in the circle, capital R, and TM. Those refer to trademarks. So with trademarks, however, as Shelley would have indicated, you go and you register a trademark. So if, for instance, you want to use Picture of Possibility as a mark or a slogan in your business, in order to use it, you should go ahead and get it registered as a trademark. How you would do that is go to the local intellectual property office, and there's a form that you have to fill out. There's a part on the form where you include a graphical representation of what the mark is. Usually you submit that. It is published in the newspapers. If nobody objects, and as long as the intellectual property examiners are happy with the mark and that it complies with the legal requirements, then there you go, you have your trademark. Getting a trademark is not super expensive or difficult. It probably takes, maybe Shelley, you can tell me how long yours took, but usually it takes probably about 6 months.
The trademark?
Yes.
6 to 9 months, sometimes you have to tweak some things.
Correct.
We have a phase that they kind of screen it, and then they tell you this could go through or not, or this stands a good chance or not, and they send it back to you. You do your tweaking, and then they move it forward. And I think after that, it's about 6 to 7 months around there.
Yeah, so that's correct. So they do a pre-screening. They can't guarantee that it will be accepted, but they kind of tell you whether it may be acceptable, or they will make recommendations, as Shelley said, as to what you do. But and then the procedure goes through with the publication in the newspapers. Some of you guys growing up might have seen the pullouts in the Newsday where they publish all the trademarks that people have been applied for, mm-hmm. and as people have applied for. And as I said, if nobody objects and once it is legally acceptable, then yeah, you get your trademark and you can use the R or the TM with your slogan, logo, mark, whatever it is that you've registered. And just as Shelby said, you don't want to go ahead and like build a huge successful brand based on something that you're using that is unique to your business in the way that you use it and apply it, but then there's no protection for it because somebody else could go, and not what's worse than somebody else using it is somebody else going ahead and registering it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where all the trouble comes in.
Right, and now they have rights to it.
Exactly, they have the legal rights to it. You can challenge them, but now you have to get an attorney. Now you have to go to court. Now you have to prove that you've been using this mark before them. And even with all of that, you could still lose. So you would be on the, you're on the back burner, and they have this legal right to this thing that you've developed, nurtured, put your energy behind. And it would be unfortunate, but it would be a outcome of failing to register the mark. You can also have an unregistered trademark, which is where you use something, a mark, in relation to your business. However, with an unregistered mark, you don't get the same rights and protections as with a registered mark. So with an unregistered mark, you can still take action against somebody if they're infringing your mark, but then you have to prove how you've been using it, that you've been using it as a mark, etc., etc., length of time you've been using it, where you've used it. Well, you have to go through a lot of rings. Yeah, whereas if it were a registered trademark, you're just showing your certificate of registration. You right. say, hey, I own this. I have a legal right to it.
One of the ways that I found was really easy and safe, and it helps your lawyer as well, is when you have your intellectual property, you take it to the postal service, you tell them that you want to claim ownership of this, and then they put a special stamp on it, and they mail it back to you. You keep that. And anybody challenges you, you pass that to your lawyer. Now that's
We call that the poor man's copyright.
So we have a question. We have a question here. I don't want to forget. Where is it? Rachel asked me a question. Someone is asking, is there a stipulated time to have your logo trademarked after you've registered? She's saying she registered in 2014 and never trademarked. and what is the cost of trademarks? So is there a stipulated time, and what is the cost to get it trademarked?
No, there's no cutoff period or time to say once you've been using something, you have to do it like within 6 months or 12 months. You can register the trademark at any point. The disadvantage that you have is if you do it later rather than sooner, is if somebody else in your industry is using the words or slogan or a similar mark, you would not be entitled to register it, and you may have to kind of change up things in the business or, as Shelly said, make tweaks to the actual mark itself. And the second part of the question in terms of the cost. So trademarks are based on, there's an international classification for goods and services. It's called the NIST classification, and there are 45 classes of goods and services that your mark could be applied to. And basically, when you apply for a trademark, you have to specify which one or ones of those classes you want your goods to be applied to. So for instance, Shelly, as a vocal coach, your picture of possibility, or you were talking about another logo that you had, another mark that you had.
Which yes, one was- for my business coaching, I have the picture of possibility, and I had that trademarked.
Right. Okay, so you can, the main services would be the vocal services, which would fall in one of the categories of services. But also, for instance, if, you know, Shelly has a huge following and there are persons who might want to buy like t-shirts or mugs or other types of merchandise from her, her mark would have to be registered in those classes as well to serve and function as a mark. So it would be the services as well as the specific types of goods. So like clothing and headgear is one classification. Food products would be, foodstuffs would be another one. So you just have to designate and dictate which of the classes you want the mark to be registered in. And an initial application is $300 TT, and each subsequent mark that you want the, each subsequent class that you want the mark in is like an additional $100 or something like that.
Yes. So to put Savvy Singers on a t-shirt and own that for drop shipping, I had to protect it. To put picture of possibility on a t-shirt, on a mug, anything like that, we have to protect it. And that's different from just protecting it for writing copy, right? Correct. I hope you all are following that, because I don't want you all to say, well, she said once it's trademarked, it's safe to go. No, it's different categories, right? It's like Beyonce trademarking her daughter's name, but you can't use it for baby bags, you can't use it for baby clothes, you can't use it for a baby show, you can't use it. She's trademarking in every industry that she could possibly block somebody from taking that identifier and going off with it and riding on your effort, right?
Yeah, so that's an amazing example though, because like for instance, big brands like Apple, when they do a trademark, they just block trademark, they can afford it. So they will trademark in as many jurisdictions around the world as they can. They will trademark in as many classes as they want to, because they can afford the fees and they just want to have the widest protection available. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Beyonce trademarking her daughter's name. What was interesting is that she tried to trademark Blue Ivy, and there had already been a wedding shop that was Blue Ivy, something or the other. And they had a pre-existing trademark for Blue Ivy. So imagine what would have happened if that person had not gone that step to trademark the logo for her business, because then Beyonce would have come along and possibly trademarked it in all the classes. That's and right. Although she had been operating as Blue Ivy XYZ for years, she would not have been able to use the name going forward. So that's just a prime example of what you need to be wary of. And you guys can like search the case. It was pretty interesting, but
I found that to be rather interesting. And I was like, wow, could you imagine if that person didn't have their stuff trademarked? They could not stand against
they would not. Yeah, they would not have been able to use it once she had been successful with getting the trademark.
I have one more question before you move on with your presentation. Rachel is asking, Rachel Russell is asking, does it matter what country you trademark in?
So, yes. IP rights are jurisdictional. So generally, if you acquire rights in one country, they're not really valid in another country. So what I also advise clients too is if you know as part of your strategic plan for your business that you want to expand to Grenada, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, whatever, you're expanding regionally, you should try to acquire those rights at the earliest possible stage. And very interestingly enough, during this COVID period as well, the World Intellectual Property Office, which is something they had been working on for a long time before, they rolled out a system where you can apply for a trademark in multiple jurisdictions by making an application at your local office. So what that means is that you can go into the local IPO here and get a trademark, not just for Trinidad, but you can get a trademark for Russia, Bahrain, wherever in the world, as long as it's a country that has signed on to the not treaty, but the international agreement. You can apply in your local office and get a trademark for those jurisdictions. Because before, what you would have had to have done was gotten a local agent, whether that's an attorney or somebody else who is capable of registering marks to do it in each country. And of course, as you can tell, that would have been a very expensive undertaking. So this is quite a novel element.
Yes, but before you go to do that, you have to understand your target audience and also the demographics of your target audience. So if you know you're going to go into 38 countries, then you need to identify those countries and then you try to trademark to protect yourself there. So before you all even try to do that, identify the demographics of your audience or who you would like to target, as she says, in your strategic planning with regards to futuristic ventures, right? Right? You can go ahead, honey. We finished with the questions for now.
Well, that was pretty much what I had to say. What else would you guys like to know about
Right.
patents? We talk about patents. So basically, a patent is another type of IP right that would protect something new that is developed. So whether that's a new way of doing something existing, or whether that's a brand new item. So like for instance, if somebody invented a fridge that could, I don't know, had an arm that could just like take out things from the fridge and give it to you. That would be something new, and that would be something that is capable of being patented. With a patent, that's one of the more expensive rights to obtain, and it's also a lot longer to obtain as well. The average time for getting a patent in Trinidad is 2 years. It can even be longer. But even though that might sound like a lot, and it might sound like, okay, there's a small island timeline, it's also on par with international timelines as well. Because with a patent, the patent examiners, they need to examine not just what is the state of the art here in Trinidad locally, but also all around the globe. Because you only get a patent if it's something new and novel around the world. So patents are like at the top, like the creme de la creme kind of thing. And with a patent as well, once you get your invention patented, nobody else can do what you do for 20 years. And you see patents a lot in the drugs industry when people make medicine and they make a lot of money out of it. They do invest a lot of money in like research and R&D and development, but when you come up with a drug and it's patented, nobody else can make that same thing in the way that you do for 20 years. So you more or less have like an exclusive hold on the market. So when you get a patent, it might take a long time to get, and it may be a little bit more expensive as compared to the other IP rights, but you're set. You have a corner share in the market.
So Rachel Russell is asking again. I'm not sure if Rachel is still in Trinidad or if she's out, but I'm asking as if you are in Trinidad, right, Rachel? She's asking, can you patent a theory?
Not really, because you have to show the inventive step and you have to show what is the outcome of that step. So, like a theory is kind of like patenting an idea, and with IP rights, they don't protect ideas, they protect what's the outcome of that idea. Even if it is like, I can't think of a theory that would really be patentable material. Possibly like a new mathematical formula possibly could be patented, but then there's also the step of like showing what's the tangible outcome of that, which may be hard to show on the facts. But that's a really interesting question though.
Yes, Rachel normally comes up with these really interesting questions. She's been an entrepreneur for some time, so she's asking strategic questions here. I have a couple questions. You said that with regards to the new bills that being passed, we are asked to make declarations as to who are the beneficiaries are.
Yes, correct.
Right. Does that include nonprofit organizations?
Yes, and you may be aware as well that there was a not-for-profit act that was also passed last year. So there's a whole set of new regulations for any organization, whether those are existing not-for-profits or new not-for-profits, that they have to comply with. And yes, NPOs have to do the beneficial ownership declarations, but with a not-for-profit, it's also a little bit different because, as the name says, it's not really, it's the primary intention of the company is not profit. So therefore the beneficial ownership declarations are going to be a little bit different.
Okay, great. There was something else I wanted to ask. With regards to domain names, how many domain names would you recommend that a new entrepreneur or a small to medium entrepreneur, how many do you think? Because domain names to me, it's like real estate. Because that I can jump in and decide I want all, or I could say I want three or four, right? Personally, I have multiple ones, and sometimes I know people may think that it is an expense, but I want to tell people it's not an expense to hold your domain names. It is actually an investment if you are thinking about the future. What would be your recommendation with regards to how many domain names a small to medium sized business should hold?
So it really depends on like your ventures. So I would say definitely for your main venture, if your main venture is like, okay, for instance, mine is a legal business and that's Titan Chambers. So the main business should have its own domain. People need to be able to find you. Whether or not you have other side businesses or side ventures that you, if they kind of align with your main one, you may have everything on one site. But then if you have additional businesses that you would want to have their own piece of real estate on the internet, then you register domains for those as well. Or if you have like an idea that you might want to monetize in future and you feel that you need a separate site for it, then you should also buy a domain for that. And I have domains that I don't even use because like I would come up with an idea, I'd be like, okay, let me buy this one. And then most of the times it's like $9.99 or $11.99 to get it. So it's just like, okay, yeah, makes sense.
And the more desperate you are to secure that domain name, the higher someone already holds
Yeah,
it's more expensive.
the charge. Yeah.
With regards to words, marks, and stuff like that, with regards to trademarking, what would be some of the differences we have locally versus internationally? Some things that are allowed locally that aren't allowed, and some things that we can do internationally. And so can you just share a little bit about that? Because we did come up with some hurdles with regards to some countries allow you to trademark words, and locally you have to have a mark. All right, Daniel, stuff like that.
You can trademark a work here, but you have to show why it's distinctive and why it applies to your business. But you can trademark a word or phrase.
How difficult is that to get that accepted?
I've done word marks. I haven't trademarked a single word though. I don't see why it should be a problem, but phrases, I've definitely had marks go through for that with no difficulty. But in terms of like things that are allowed globally that we don't have, I did my dissertation in non-traditional trademarks. So non-traditional trademarks would be like colors, shapes, smells, those sorts of things, and we don't have that here. So ours is very paper-based, and whatever you're trademarking has to be able to fit in that little box that they put on the form. They don't want to hear anything else about anything else at all except what can fit in that little box. So we don't have like smell marks and colors even. I haven't applied for any color marks here, but I suspect they wouldn't really take it too seriously. Like our IP office is kind of a little bit traditional. I mean, they're dealing with them is lovely. It's like one of the government departments that I would say the staff is like really, really helpful. They go out of their way to make sure that you're comfortable. They answer questions, they answer the phones, they answer emails. So dealing with them is good, but they're also bound by just bureaucracy and the ways of doing things. So we don't have those non-traditional marks that you may see elsewhere. Also, in terms of like what can be trademarked as well, what I would say is like sometimes, so how our Trademarks Act is divided up, there's a part A, which is for marks that are distinctive in themselves. And then there's a part B, which is where it really shouldn't be accepted by a mark as a mark. But if you've been using it as a trademark, they'll allow it. So if you have a new mark that is not, that you have not already been using, and they feel like it should not be a trademark, then you don't get to register it. And when I say distinctive, so as an example, so Apple, we all know Apple, we all love Apple. I love Apple. Apple is amazing. And they have several marks. Actually, it was, we had a big thing in the newspaper once when a couple of years ago, Apple filed a new trademark, and they randomly just decided to file it here in Trinidad first before the US. And I remember that made the news. I don't know why. They must have had some strategic thinking. But so basically, Apple, if you're a grocery store or you're selling goods that are like fruits, even extended to that, food products, you wouldn't be able to register Apple as a trademark because it describes what you're selling. So it has to be something that is distinctive. So Apple as applied to computers, like that's different. That is a word that is not traditionally associated with computers. So it can serve as a mark.
Right. So someone is coming to you. Thank you so much for that. That was great. So someone is coming to you for consultation. How important is having their branding ready when they come to you?
Well, if they're ready to file a trademark at that time, then they'd have to have, as I said, the graphical representation. So actually, I had somebody come to me just last week, and they said, okay, I want to file a trademark, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I was like, okay, well, I was doing virtual consultations at the time. And I said, all right, well, just send everything to me, and we will send it to me beforehand, and we'll do the consultation. And she was like, well, I have to get a graphic designer. So I was like, okay, you're not quite ready yet. So let me know when you have the actual mark and then we'll go ahead. But sometimes also people want guidance as to the actual mark itself. I know you said you did it yourself, Shelley, and you had some back and forth with getting the mark right. Yeah. So yeah, like if you're not quite ready and you want to do a consultation, that makes sense as well, because you might try to trademark something that actually would not be accepted as a mark. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying before, sometimes things that would not normally be accepted as a mark can go through if you've been using it as a trademark in your business. But if it's a brand new business and a brand new mark, then no, it's just outright going to be rejected.
Right. So we've spoken about colors, we've spoken about fonts, we've spoken about marks. We are making it clear that your branding has to be ready before you get to the lawyer. All right. One more question out of Florida, and it's Rachel. She just confirmed that she's actually out of Florida. She's asking, so if you have a business, for example, Red Blog Ventures, and you trademark that, if you have other businesses coming out of that, like Red Blog Restaurant, Red Blog T-shirts, etc., do you have to trademark each new business name?
So, okay. In a circumstance like that, if you've registered Red Blog Ventures, then that can be wide enough to be applied to other things. But if you wanted to trademark like Red Blog Restaurants, the name, part of what you do is there in the name. So that's not even going to be accepted as a mark, not Red Blog Restaurants. Red Blog, and you file in the category for restaurants, would or should be acceptable, but not Red Blog Restaurants. But as I said too, if you have like a common enough name that you've already trademarked, like the Red Blog Ventures, then you can also use it for your other businesses.
Oh, great. All right, ladies, do you all have any more questions for this lovely lady? I think she did an amazing job this evening. You know, we are empowering you all to win. And especially, as I said, now where everything is changing and shifting, it's going to be, for some people, you're going to be agile and flexible and you can do it quickly. For others, it's going to be a learning curve. That's not going to be exciting. It's going to be a learning curve, but whichever way you fall, this is something that is essential. This is important, right? For your protection, for your growth. And if you are thinking about the future, and protecting yourself. And as we say in the picture of possibility, we are building legacy. So we want to make sure that we build it right so that when we are ready to pass it on and we are born, the person who is trying to receive it doesn't end up with legal ramifications. Yeah. Okay. So not only are we being responsible while we are here with our creation and our sweat and our blood, when we have to will that or we have to pass it on, right? It's ready to be passed on and people can contest and try to steal it and do all sorts of underhanded things to come and snatch it away, right? So you make sure that you set it up right for now and for later. Any last words you want to leave with us, honey?
Yeah, so I think what you said there is just like a capsule of what we discussed. And I really, really do encourage people, not just because it's the right thing to do, but also, as I was saying earlier, like compliance is huge on the minds of the government. I mean, we don't operate in a vacuum. There are certain international obligations that Trinidad as a country has to uphold. And because of it, if you look at the legislative agenda, you will see so many things that just are going to make people's lives more difficult, but also just necessary to combat things like money laundering, fraud, financing of terrorism, all of those ills and all of the things that we sign international agreements to say that we're going to curb in our country. So because of that, things are going to be like really different now on. I mean, just as early as last week, another bill was passed and it's now enacted, the Real Estate Agents Bill. Because it's now an act. So basically before you could have just like set up a shop on the side of the road and show people houses and sell them and collect the money, that can't happen anymore. You now need to be registered and as a real estate agent. You need to have insurance in place. You need to have all your paperwork in place, register with the FIU. It's a criminal offense to sell real estate without doing those things. Things are seriously going to be different, guys. So that's what I just really wanted to tell you more than anything else. Oh, and the offer. So basically the offer that I have for you, I do legal audits, which is where I come into your business. And just like as with a financial audit, verify that you're legally compliant for your industry, whatever specific industry that is. And I usually do that at $1,500. And as part of the offer for you guys, I do that for you for $1,000 instead.
I was now coming to that question. So
guys,
So guys, I want you all to, I'm exposing you all to this because as an entrepreneur, I didn't start off trying to be an entrepreneur. It just, grew into that. And then I found myself faced with stuff that I wasn't prepared for. Nobody prepared me. Nobody told me anything. I just started. I started with the Peruvian Performing Arts Academy. It started off just Shelly singing school. And then that grew and grew to Pinnacle of Ruby's Vocal Ministry. And then we registered that. And then I came upon some surprising information about your going on filing your taxes. And so I didn't know anything. I just wanted to register. I wanted to do the right thing. So I registered. And then I was faced with a bill. So the lawyer advised me to change the name. That's what you were talking about when you're faced with like thousands of dollars and you are looking like, oh my God, why didn't somebody tell me this? They were passionate and I should say compassionate. And they decided that they would help me to change the name. And then we changed it to the PRVM Performing Arts Academy, which I wanted to change the name anyway. So it was a good thing that worked out for me. But don't fall into that trap, because you may very well have a name you don't want to change. Because I cried a lot in legal affairs trying to get that PRVM. Right? Also, when you want to do events, you have to show them your certificates. You have to show them that you paid your legal fees, to legal affairs. You have to show them your director's, what's this thing we pay for $20 every month?
That you pay monthly?
There's something that we pay $20 for. Is it that directors? Some directors.
Not directors, that notice of secretary.
Yes. So, yeah.
That's part of the corporate bundle for your company.
So when I have events, y'all have no idea the amount of documents I have to present. And I have to show that I'm paying my taxes. I have to show my certificates of incorporation, my articles of incorporation. I have to show my payment receipts before they say, okay, yes, you can have this venue for this thing, because my event is not just a Shelly event. It's the PRVM Performing Arts Academy. So that's an entity by itself. So that has to stand. So we have to set ourselves up to win. So even when I pass, or when I say, okay, I'm done with this, and I give it to somebody else to run, all the pillars are in place. So we have to set ourselves up for retirement even. What are you passing to people to run even while you are here, right, guys? So we don't want you to fall into those things. We don't want you to be faced with a request that you can't deliver, and you have timelines, and you have a whole community, because I have a large community in the PRVM Performing Arts Academy, because I've been around for 20 years. I have a decent following with the Picture of Possibility Tribe, which is our soul sisters. Tribe. So now you have a whole community looking on at you. You are trying to do something, and there's some legal barrier, and it was out of ignorance. So all of these things is why I am here, trying to empower you guys, both in the music industry as well as women who are pursuing business, right? So let us be diligent, let us be wise, and let us take advantage of this $1,000 audit, because guys, it's going to cost you a whole lot more than $1,000 if you are caught with your pants down, all right? Yeah, some people pay like 70,000, 40,000, 20,000.
Well, the one who closed down her business, she had been operating for more than 10 years, so her bill was like over 200,000. Yeah.
You'll see what we're trying to protect you against. So $1,000 is like, I did not change right now, because if it's 70,000 or 100,000, you will get a migraine for a week. So where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
Okay, well, I'm on Instagram at lawyergirl868. I'm on LinkedIn as well as Celise Haynes, and I am on Facebook. You can look up my name. It's SAELESE, surname HAYNES. And you can also email me at 19dondonaldstreet@gmail.com.
Beautiful. Can you say that one more time for them in case they're writing it?
So your address. 19dondonaldstreet@gmail.com. Instagram, lawyergirl868, and LinkedIn, Celise.
Awesome. So ladies, can we give Celise a nice send-off with some appreciation? Tell us what stood out for you tonight. And let's send up some hearts for her to show our appreciation. All right, let's show her some love. If you have any more questions, I will see if she's willing or able to answer them after the live is finished. And I am very happy that you guys showed up, and I'm very grateful for you, Celise. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for sharing. And I look forward to collaborating with you again in the future.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
All right. All right, guys. So we're saying good night for now until we come back in our next training session next week. All right. God bless. Be safe. Be nice. And have hearts of compassion always. Okay. And be a picture of possibility. Bye.
Bye-bye.